Coming to you from the Deep South, this is the Blue Collar Leadership Podcast. High impact leadership is not reserved for leaders, and it has nothing to do with your position, title, or rank. However, it does have everything to do with your character. It's time to climb to the next level and beyond, personally and professionally. Now, let's start making it happen with your host, Max Story.
If you're in sales, as far as the customer's concerned, everything is your job. So thanks for listening to the Blue Collar Leadership Podcast today. That's what we're going to be talking about. Digging into that. If you're in professional sales and you don't think everything's your job, you might want to listen to this podcast. So the title of this chapter is Supporting Sales. This is chapter 25. Part 25 of 30 in this 30-part series on my book, Who's Buying You? Until you sell yourself, you won't sell much. So Supporting Sales is the chapter title, the subtitle. When you're there for your customer, they'll be there for you. And what I mean when I say they'll be there for you, they're going to recommend you. They're going to be repeat customers. They're going to provide you tons of positive word-of-mouth advertisement. But to get all that, you got to support them. And you got to do everything else we've been talking about in this book and everything that's left to talk about in this book. And then everything that's in probably 1,000 more books. There's a lot to learn when you're focused on selling with a high degree of character. So let's talk about this. Deanne Turner, if you don't know who Deanne Turner is or was, she was the vice president of talent at Chick-fil-A. I think she was there for 33 years. And basically, they don't have HR. They have the talent department. She was vice president of talent, which some people, again, would refer to as HR. So that's what she did there. She's out on the speaking circuit today, speaking all over the country, around the world, that sort of thing. Spreading the message of how to build a high-impact culture relative to what I would call it. But this is a quote I share in the book, and she had this to say. She says, service makes people feel honored, respected, and special. And that's one of the things that separated Chick-fil-A from everyone else for so long. But they're phenomenal at doing the stuff that I'm talking about in this book. Everybody at Chick-fil-A is expected to do the stuff that I talk about in this book. It doesn't matter what their job is inside of that building or at the corporate headquarters. So we're talking about supporting sales. So I often hear people say, you know, everyone in the company is selling. And I agree. I've heard that. And that's what I was just talking about with Chick-fil-A. Jimmy Collins used to always talk about at Chick-fil-A. He used to say that he's been a friend and mentor of mine and Rhea since 2015. But I've heard him say a lot of times to me, you know, when I was at Chick-fil-A, I used to tell everybody, if you ain't making chicken or serving chicken, you better be supporting somebody who is. Because that's what our role is. Meaning that's what he was saying. His role is to support those who are serving or selling chicken. So I agree everyone in the company is selling. So several years ago, I was conducting a cross-functional leadership development program for a company that had about 1,200 people working there across multiple locations. And during this leadership development program that I was teaching, and it was a week-long deal, but there were usually about 20 people or so in each one of these classes. And it was mixed with all types of employees from all types of areas. And I wanted it that way. I wanted everybody to just mix it up much as you can with whoever's available to go in these classes. And they were from all types of positions. I mean, there might have been a vice president sitting next to a forklift driver, who was sitting next to an engineer, who was sitting next to a welder, who was sitting next to a salesperson from the other side of the country, who was sitting next to a receptionist. who may have been sitting next to a maintenance person. Kind of see what I'm getting? It was everybody at every level. And then I would teach them what I was teaching them together. So the leaders of that company brought in their outside salespeople from all around the country. They were all, and included them in a leadership development program. I mean, basically, I took about 1,200 people, all the ones that spoke English. I can't remember how many that was, but some of them didn't speak English. But we set up a program and had someone that I mentored and coached to actually lead the those who spoke Spanish through the same program. But I didn't lead that. But there were 1,200 people that went through the program. But again, salespeople from all over the country were included. So you understand it took a while. 1,200 people, 20 person at a time, week after week after week after week. This company invested a ton into the people. They were doing it right. They slowed down enough to put 20 people in a classroom to talk about leadership development about 75% of the week, and lean manufacturing for about 25% of the week. I called it a lean leadership certification. If you want to find out how I unleash those teams' potential, check out my Blue Collar Kaizen Leading Lean and Lean Teams book. I've already got a series on that. At the moment, I can't remember where that's at, but if you go to the Blue Collar Leadership YouTube channel, look under playlist, you can find that audio series from this podcast really easy. All the podcast series are listed as playlists on our YouTube channel. They're only audio. The audio version of this podcast uploads every week to the YouTube channel, so you can listen to it there. But we got a lot of great videos. Be sure to check out the Real People Getting Real Results series. That playlist is just growing, and it's just that thing. People seem to really be liking that. So I hope you've checked that out. You know, it comes out here every other Friday. So you've been hearing it if you listen to the podcast, but just a reminder, you can actually go watch it and see me and whoever I'm interviewing actually recording it on video. So this company did great. They brought in these people. They put them in a classroom. They fed them a hot meal that was catered in every day. I mean, like barbecue, beef strips, tacos, I mean, chicken, fried chicken, all these good meals. They brought them every day. They had meals in the morning. They had snacks and breakfast. They set up this room. They had all types of sodas and drinks and coffee machines. They had snacks. It looked like he was in a convenience store. Every week it was like that. I mean, I don't know if you've ever worked in an organization that's put you through everybody in the organization through a course like that on site and supported you in that way. But that company did that, and that was amazing. And I'll shout them out. They're out in Terrell, Texas. The name of the company is Madix, M-A-D-I-X. They did some really good stuff. I supported them for about 4 years every other week in Texas, Massachusetts, Alabama, a couple of plants in Alabama, really big operations in Texas, and then they had one up in Massachusetts. So I was doing a lot of support for them, and they really invested a ton into the people relative to leadership development and lean manufacturing. So most often, though, the salespeople aren't included in this type of development. They usually get some development, but it ain't the kind I'm talking to you about. They definitely don't come in and sit beside the workers in the manufacturing plants or whatever type plant or product or services are being provided. But including them was the right thing to do. I had enough influence, and those leaders understood we need to make this happen for everybody, get them on the same page. I'll tell you something that came out of it, were many fantastic and beneficial relationships were created during that time amongst all the people on the team. It was just amazing to watch it happen every week. Monday morning, they didn't know each other, a lot of them. Even if they worked in the same place, a lot of them didn't know people because they were from different departments, different divisions, somewhere in the front office, somewhere out in the shop. All different. It was just awesome. I loved it. It was a great thing I got to do. But the salespeople also went back into the field with some great stories to tell the customers. They got to tell that story of that week they got to tell the stories that they heard other people tell. And they formed some phenomenal relationships. So I always made sure each class understood the salespeople were out in the field working hard to make a living and feed their families just like everyone else, even though they weren't often seen at the facility. So a lot of times in companies, the salespeople and the folks making the product or providing a service, sometimes there's a divide there. That was one thing that this type of development actually helped. If you're in a company and you can get the sales folks on doing, even if they don't come in for an event like this, our clients who do book studies with our books and mix them up, just like I talked about the team we had in the actual classroom, but you can mix them up online, on the phone, video sessions, whatever, in person, however you can do it, mix it up and go through book studies together, you're going to get some strong relationships built. If you do what I teach you in episode 305, if you facilitate the book studies like I teach you to do it in episode 305. All right. So I also reminded the folks how salespeople carry the extra burden and responsibility of selling enough product to ensure all 1,200 families were taken care of and fed, not just their own. That's a lot of pressure. A lot of people don't realize that's what the salespeople are out there trying to do. I mean, I've been in companies where people moan, groan, and whine because the sales folks are selling too much. Those people are trying to keep everybody a job. The folks in there building the product and providing the service need to adapt, improvise, adapt, and overcome and figure out how to make it happen. Because if they can't make it happen, they're going to cost people some jobs because those customers are going to go somewhere else. It's not just a smooth, linear business. You out there trying to get business, you got to get it when you can, because sometimes you can't. And then when you come in and get overloaded, I've been on that end of the manufacturing world where we get yanked around with overtime. Overtime like crazy, and then we ain't got any work. Trying to find people something to do. Sometimes people getting laid off. It's tough. But that's why folks need all the other books that I write about and talk about. That's a different set of lessons that I'm teaching you here, but they tie together right here. So in other words, the salespeople had to sell enough to keep all 1,200 people working, not just themselves. So most team members in the room had never thought of it that way. So that was a cool way to pump up the salespeople, make them feel valued, but also to start building that relationship between the people and the sales folks. So this perspective really helped bring them all together as a team. Then I asked everyone if they remembered seeing some of the salespeople bringing customers and potential customers through the manufacturing facility on tours. So I told them this right here. I said, once the salespeople bring the customers through the door, they are no longer selling. They're simply touring them through the facility. Then I would ask this group, if the salespeople aren't selling, when they bring in customers or potential customers for a tour, who is? And usually somebody who's sharp on the team would quickly say, we are. And I'd kind of pause and let it sink in for a minute. I wanted to be sure they fully understood they were all selling. The way that they interacted, if they waved at the customers, if they stepped out in the aisle and talked to them, spoke to them, was positive. I mean, Rhea and I go in all kinds of companies all across this country. We can tell pretty quick when we go in what kind of leadership culture they have, what kind of culture just in general they have, but it's all founded in the leader's values, so it's a leadership culture. Sometimes you go in, people are talking, they're chatting, they're laughing, they're smiling, they're happy. They're interacting. Other times, it's just like silence. There is no interaction unless there has to be interaction. So the customers and potential customers, they can sense the same thing that I sense when I walk into a company. So not only is everyone selling, but everyone is in customer service too. And remember, the focus of this book, this series, is about becoming a sales pro. If you're, it's intended for the professional salesperson. Although anybody can learn lessons from these this series, it's intended for the professional salesperson. They're probably going to love this chapter I'm talking about right here, but I'm talking about everybody's in sales. But I'm shifting a bit to help the sales professional understand everything's your job, because the customer doesn't care. They're talking to you. You got to make it happen, whatever that means. You got to make it happen. That's what I'm saying. Everyone's in customer service, including the salespeople. And they got lots of other things they might have to do sometime. But at a minimum, you're serving other internal customers. Your coworkers are your internal customers throughout the organization. I'm talking to everybody, but also specifically to the salespeople. Everyone is a customer. Customer service is your customer. The people providing a service or producing the product is your customer. The leadership team, everybody that works in the facility, in the shop, whatever you call it, at the plant, they're your customers too, not just the customers buying the product. That's a lean thing. Everybody's a customer and everybody's a supplier of each other. That's part of a lean manufacturing principles. But a common word used to describe this type of support and service is just teamwork. All this deal is the simple way to describe it. One word is teamwork. If you truly understand the first thing you must sell is yourself, then you'll easily understand you're also in customer service. And ultimately, you're there to serve your customer. Caring is serving. Helping is serving. Supporting is serving. Customer service is serving. Selling is serving. So few have stated it as well as Napoleon Hill when he wrote. He wrote this right here, and I share it in the book. He says, "It is the practice of the majority of men to perform no more service than they feel they are being paid to perform." Fully 80% of all whom I have analyzed were suffering on account of this great mistake. You need to have no fear of competition from the man who says, "I'm not paid to do that. Therefore, I'll not do it." He will never be a dangerous competitor for your job. Man, how true that is right there. And if you don't know Napoleon Hill, I've read quite a few of his books. He wrote a lot of really, really great content in the early 1900s, around the 20s and 30s, I think, is when most of his stuff come out, maybe even later. But he did a lot of research of some top, influential, successful people. And then he turned it into a lot of books. So he got some really neat stuff from the good old days. I like reading his stuff. Pretty much done read it all up now, but I go back to it sometime. So that's who Napoleon Hill is. But if you're going to successfully and effectively sell yourself, everything is your job. Why? Because if the customer expects you to do it and you don't do it, or get it done, you have just made a withdrawal in that trust account, which means you're losing influence. If you're making withdrawals in a trust account between you and your customers, whether they're external or internal, here I'm talking about external, the ones buying your product or service, you're losing trust. You potentially going to lose that business. It doesn't matter if it's your job or not, because the customer doesn't care. We've all been the customer on that side dealing with the salesperson. We don't care. We know that they have the inside connections. They got the direct line to the people. If they're willing to step up and go to the people who are producing the product or providing a service, and they're willing to go do it, they can make it happen. It's not our job. It's the salesperson's job to take care of us. But if the salesperson's just blaming everybody back at the shop or the facility or the location where they provide the service out of, or the folks who are doing it, if they're just blaming, that ain't helping us a bit as a customer. And you already know this, but as a professional salesperson, you really, really better know this. And you better react based on this knowledge. But the customers are just simply looking for someone to offer support when they need it. They don't want to hear someone start whining They want to see someone start shining. When it's time to make something happen, you can step up or step aside. Step up, you making that happen. Step aside, you're going to let somebody else make it happen. The buyer won't hesitate to find another salesperson who is willing to make things happen. And you know that because we're customers. You buying things in the future, you bought things in the past. Amateur salespeople who don't yet realize they're working for themselves would dodge the responsibility for solving problems, developing solutions, and finding an answer. But the sales pro who understands they are working for themselves will quickly, energetically, and positively step up to the plate and make things happen. A sales pro will always keep their team or help their team succeed because they know they are making deposits and or withdrawals with everyone they interact with and everyone who is watching. This includes everyone above them, beside them, and below them. As Peyton Manning said best, and I love this quote, I share it often, the most valuable players are those who make the most players valuable. So just this last little bit I've been talking to you about, you can see how even though this book is written for professional salespeople, anybody in an organization who understands the basic principles of leadership and personal growth and development that I teach, if they've been through some of that core content, you can see how they could get a lot of value out of this book. Because the book is to help you sell yourself, not your product. Everybody in every position, in every organization, needs to learn how to sell themselves. That's what this book is about. But it's intended, again, for the professional sales person. So it's got that, it's got the sales spin on it, the buying and selling component. So let's talk about the three seller beware points at the end of this chapter. Seller beware point number one. Everyone is in the customer service business, customer service sales. Seller beware, point number two, always be looking for someone to serve and support. Seller beware, point number three, every customer is your customer, whether they're buying from you or someone else. Support sales. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. Episode, or part 25 of 30 in this series. We're getting ready to wrap this one up. Won't be a couple more weeks. We'll be done. But I want you to get out there and keep climbing or keep digging. Talk to you next time.
Make it happen or someone else will. It might as well be you. Are you serious about taking your career and your life to the next level and beyond? Check out Max Story's Blue Collar Leadership Series books and others, now available on audio, along with paperback and ebooks at Amazon, iTunes, and Audible. Please visit BlueCollarLeadership.com to learn about Max's books, programs, special offers, certifications, and more. Thank you for listening to the Blue Collar Leadership Podcast.